We've got big news on Cyberpunk 2077, and we have all the announcements and other news from the EA Play Live event. Let's jump into it. What is up, guys? Welcome to Diggity, a video game podcast, episode number 166. I'm Jeff James. As always with me, the incredible, unobtainable, luscious Brody Faults. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Good, man. We're in video game capital of the world, Indiana.
Bringing so you much hot video news. Game hotness going on here.
Bringing you the hottest of hot news from the Mecca of video game landia, Indiana, USA. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Diggity Podcast. And if you're listening to the show for the first time, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever awesome podcasts are listened to, and tell your friends and your family they can find us on those awesome places as well. Thank you very much. With that, bro, do you want to jump right on into the upcoming game releases? We're back to kind of the normal show format after the whole craziness of the PlayStation stuff.
Yeah. It's kind of nice to have a little bit of a normal show here.
We actually
have like some news.
It's great.
So June 19th, The Academy, The First Riddle comes to PC. Burnout Paradise Remastered comes to Switch. The Coma 2, Vicious Sisters comes to PlayStation 4 and Switch. The Last of Us 2 comes to PS4 on June 19th as well. And this is if you had it pre-ordered. And then YS, Memories of Celtica Remaster, is coming
That's
to PS4.
That so rings right off the tongue.
Yeah.
Rolls right off the tongue, not rings right off the tongue. I sound like a fucking idiot. Never mind.
On June 23rd, SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated is coming to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. June 24th, Ninjala is coming to Switch. And on June 25th, Blair Witch is coming to Switch. Borderlands 3 Bounty of Blood DLC launches on PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Control the Foundation DLC launches on Xbox One. Hunting Simulator 2 launches on PS4 and Xbox One, and Mr. Driller Drill Land comes to PC and Switch. That's a name right there.
Sure as hell is. I'm kind of stoked to see Burnout Paradise Remastered on Switch. I'm going to see what it looks like.
Yeah. I have it on Xbox, and I was super excited about it, and I started to play it, and I don't know. I couldn't get into it again.
Is it on Access? EA Access?
Yes.
Okay.
And it, all right. It might have even been one of the free games, or it went on sale for like $5 not too long ago, and that's when I picked it up finally. I'm excited to see SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom. My kids are going to absolutely love it, and I think we're probably going to be picking that up.
It's a great game. Is it full $60 or is it a $30?
You know what? I have not even looked.
I haven't looked either.
I really haven't been paying too much attention to games coming out other than when we do the show, because I just, for me personally, there's not a whole lot coming out until way later this year that I'm looking forward to.
I would agree.
So,
and you've got a backlog.
I've got one awful, awful backlog I need to get through. During the Switch sale that was going on, I may or may not have bought two games that were like 150-hour RPGs, JRPGs.
Oh, shit.
So, and I picked up one of the things we're going to be talking about here in a little bit. So, yeah, plenty of things to play. That's not my problem. It's the amount of time I have to play them.
Whoops. Shit. All right, let's jump into some quick news here and some actual, pretty big, quick big news, I guess you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
First one, heavy hitter here, Cyberpunk 2077 has been delayed again. So after the first delay, the game was set to release on September 17th, and now it'll release on November 19th. So it's, a quick solid 2 months extension.
First got pushed back. 5 months, 6 months, and then also getting pushed back another month on top of that.
This makes me wonder. New systems.
Yeah. Honestly, at November 19th.
Probably issues with that, right?
Yeah. November 19th, you're probably looking at it launching directly onto the new systems. Holiday season.
Or shortly after.
Probably aiming. Yeah, I would imagine. I think these consoles are going to be out in October. End of October.
Ooh, that, shit.
All of the Xboxes have launched in October, so that's kind of...
So Xbox, definitely.
Probably going to
launch
in October.
PlayStation's a question, yeah.
And I think even PlayStation 4 was the end of October, beginning of November, maybe. I'm not sure.
When's the anniversary? Because it's a big anniversary this year.
Yeah, I think we're going to miss the anniversary. I don't remember exactly when that is, but I think it's not quite holiday season, or it's close, but not quite there. If it was any other company, I would be concerned, but considering it is CD Projekt Red, I'm going to assume it is probably for the better that they delay this, because they do a fantastic job, and I really hope that they are, you know, they said everything's playable right now and it's actually in reviewers' hands, and this is just mainly a matter of polish. I mean, the game's done, all the missions are done and everything. It's just a matter of getting things exactly where they would like them. So if they need to delay it, so be it. I can wait.
Yeah, no,
but
sure.
Really, that's one of the major games I'm looking forward to. So
yeah, no, me too. Yeah, I mean, December 3rd, by the way, anniversary.
Oh, December 3rd. Okay, yeah,
December 3rd.
Man, maybe they will launch it around then, but I would think they'd want to get it out sooner than December.
Yeah, maybe Black Friday. But also, you got to sit there and be like, well, if you get like a second wave or something, I mean, is Black Friday really going to happen? You know what I mean? Like,
this
it'd
is true.
Just be online.
This is true.
Right?
Which,
but most of it's
online. I mean,
most online
of it's online anymore. Anyway, people still go and fight each other. But
now it'll just get to you in a month.
Right.
Instead of a couple days.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Thanks, Amazon.
It'd be absolutely great.
Next up, we had Persona 4 Golden is now available on Steam. So for those of you that don't know, Atlus had put some games out, which they're the developer. They're under Sega's umbrella. And they have put games out on PC before, and they didn't do well, and they kind of got burned on it. And so they basically swore they weren't going to put anything on PC anymore. So this is a big deal. Granted, this is a game from the PlayStation Vita, so it is a actual handheld game. But they did a pretty good job of porting it over. I mean, it's still not perfect. Some stuff's a little fuzzy and things, but this game was shown off on Saturday during the PC gaming show, and kind of was like shadow released. It's like, hey, look, we're doing this, and it's available now. And it was, I mean, it's been selling exceptionally well. It actually hit a record for being the most consecutively played JRPG of all time on Steam. So it's doing fantastic, and I really hope that this is going to be kind of one of those things that shows Atlus, like, hey, keep putting Persona and Shin Megami Tensei and those games onto PC, because there's certainly a market for it.
Yeah, I mean everyone's going to PC.
Yeah.
It's confusing as fuck to me, because it's like at the same time everyone wants to go to console.
Yeah, it is kind of.
And then it's
weird.
Like, wait a second, everything's going to Steam. We'll talk about that later with the EA stuff. But we got a sneak peek slash kind of opinion or look into how PlayStation and kind of the PlayStation team, the PlayStation team's stance, good lord, on PS5 and PS4 versions of games. So while Xbox has been using smart delivery as their kind of coined term or marketing term as a major marketing point for them in the system, Sony has been a bit more conservative about their plan for the transition of game into the next generation. A Sony Interactive Entertainment spokesperson told GameSpark this week that they will support developers and publishers who want to offer the PS5 versions of a game purchased on the PS4 at no extra cost, but this will absolutely be up to the individual publisher and developer and not something they can force a company to do. So you're probably going to get it.
Yeah.
I mean, if they do it on Xbox, they're going to do it on PlayStation.
Yeah,
people will revolt. Maybe not EA, but
honestly, this sounds exactly like smart delivery as well, because I don't Xbox isn't forcing anyone to do this either. It's still an optional thing from what I understand. And if anything, it might be Xbox taking a slight hit. They might be I don't know how exactly they're
I mean, I guess working. They take a hit no matter what, because
right.
It's they're not getting their percentage.
Right. So
off the store.
It sounds like PlayStation's pretty much doing the exact same thing as Xbox.
They're doing the same thing. They just didn't make a stupid term that makes it sound overcomplicated when it's not.
Right. Yeah. And So up until this point, we knew Cyberpunk was going to be one of those smart delivery for Xbox, and they've really kind of leaned into that. But also, Cyberpunk has really done a lot of marketing through Xbox. I mean, that's where it's been shown off at E3. Yeah, yeah. And they did say, you know, at this time, we're not sure about the PlayStation 5. If Sony allows it, we'll do it. So, I mean, Cyberpunk is going to be available. If you buy the PlayStation 4 version, you're going to get the PlayStation 5 version because Sony has said now officially that they are doing it. So that's good stuff. And I did forget to say Persona 4 was the other game that I bought over the weekend, and it was only $20. So I meant to mention
that. That's a hell of a lot of entertainment for $20.
Yeah, for $20, it was a steal. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, for sure.
That's the other game that will consume my life eventually. And as far as clarifications go, we have another clarification from Insomniac Games on what Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales is going to be. So there's been a lot of confusion about this. There's been multiple different outlets saying one thing. I think by the time we actually recorded our episode last week, we kind of had a little bit more clarification, or it was shortly after. I can't remember exactly how that all went down.
It was shortly after. We pondered it. We thought we knew ended up being correct.
Right.
But we were confused.
Yeah, it was definitely confusing how all that went down, because, like I said, right after this was announced during the Sony event, you had news outlets saying one thing, and then even Sony backed that up. One of their spokespersons backed that up during an interview, and then all of a sudden Insomniac's like, no, it's a standalone game. So what we do know is the game will be entirely standalone. They compared it to something in the same vein as like an Uncharted Lost Legacy, so it's not going to be necessarily as large as Marvel's Spider-Man, but it's going to be more in the scope of like a spin-off type game, maybe a little less lengthy, but still, I mean, for all intents and purposes, a full game.
So we're expecting probably $60 still.
It has not really been said up to this point that I could find, because I was trying to find a price point for it as well. I would be pretty happy if they did it at like a $40. I think that would be...
That's what I was thinking, like a $40 or $45.
I think
Lost
Legacy was $40 when it launched. So if that's what they're comparing it to, I mean, that's kind of where I expect them to fall, but we'll see. Some upgrades from Marvel's Spider-Man, though. There will be near instant loading.
Hell yeah.
Ray tracing, 3D audio. They will utilize the DualSense controller. So they're going to do a little bit more with the controller rather than, you know, a pretty standard layout. Character scans will now use 4D with improved skin shading and overall more realistic character models.
You'll be able to smell them.
You can smell them. The DualSense will just kind of put a little puff of aroma out in front of you.
See it. I can smell it.
And they also actually brought up the hair. The hair is going to look a lot more realistic than your
typical. I'm so excited when I'm fucking whizzing by a building at 50 miles an hour.
Some of the cutscenes and stuff, it does make a little bit of a difference.
Okay, so. Yeah.
And not even, because they do a lot of, all of Marvel's game, or the Spider-Man cutscenes were actually in game engine. They weren't like a different deal. So,
and they're not gonna do these boosts for the original Spider-Man game on PS4, right? As far as we know, the boost mode just like up-reses it.
As far as we know at this point, no.
Okay. All right.
They have not announced it yet. Okay. They also went out of their way to state that Peter Parker is okay, and there will be much more of his story to tell. But this game will obviously be focused on Miles, which I haven't finished the DLC, so I didn't even know that was a question. I need to go back and finish that.
damn spoilers.
So yeah. Cool. I'm happy that this is going to be its own standalone thing, and like we said last week, that's kind of what we had gathered as well, but just clarification so everybody's on the same page here, hopefully.
God, I'm just happy Peter's fine.
Yeah, Peter had me worried.
All right, Brody, what have you been playing this week?
I have finally finished Astral Chain.
You were so proud you texted me, and you're like, dude, I did it.
I actually stayed up too late, so I didn't make it to the gym this morning because I stayed up to finish it.
Hey, you achieved something.
But it's one of those games where after you finish it, it opens up, and there's like a bunch of challenges you could do,
and I'm not doing it.
No, I'm not doing it. I refuse to do it. It's a bunch of combat challenges. There's like 71 combat challenges. No. I'm done. I'm sorry.
What? How many fucking hours have you played in that now?
I have like 26 hours in it. I'm good. I've had enough. I'm on to the next thing.
Oh my God.
So I actually played a little bit of Pokemon Sword today, trying out the new DLC. I think I'm already like probably halfway done with the new DLC. It's not
how many hours.
So the big part of this DLC is predominantly it's like a giant wild area, and you can do some other stuff, but like there's like a kind of a side story thing going on, and it does not take very long to get through.
How many hours have you been at to get to halfway?
I'm probably about an hour in. I honestly, from what I've
really,
yeah, from what I'm hearing, that little side story that it adds is only a couple hours long.
Oh my God.
And there's like, it gives you like three trials, and I'm partially through the second trial now. So, and then there's more stuff to do other than that. But I mean, as far as the story that they added, there's not a whole lot of meat there. Which granted the main game didn't have a whole lot of meat to the story either. It was just kind of what it was, but, so far I'm kind of enjoying it. I mean, I think it's pretty cool to see a lot of the older Pokemon return to the games and see them actually walk around. I mean, I saw like Scyther and I mean, I saw Taurus, all sorts of different Pokemon in there, and it's cool to see. And, catching a few Pokemon that I've been wanting for a while and kind of returning to some. There's a lot of like Gen 1s that have kind of returned, but I played a little bit of Modern Warfare, which just back at that multiplayer grind to unlock camos, man. that's what I do. I gotta have that carrot at the end of the stick. I tried to get into Persona 5 on two different occasions this week, and it's not that I don't enjoy it, but it is a very slow-paced game, and if I'm tired, I really struggle with it, and I'll fall asleep. So right now, I'm not even through the first dungeon, and it shows I have like 16 hours of playtime because I'll be playing late at night and pass out with the PlayStation still on.
Oh, shit.
But other than that, that's really kind of what I've been playing. I'm really focused on Astral Chain for the last couple of nights, trying to finish it up finally, and... yeah. How about you? What do you play?
Sorry, I was just pinching a fly out of there. I fucking got him.
Nice.
Mr. Miyagi, dude. I've played a melody of a lot of different stuff. I played a decent amount of City Skylines. All right. So that was good. That was good. Had a blast in that. Played that just through Steam. I played Golf Club 2019, even though I don't know why I go back to this game. I don't know why the fuck I go back to this game.
It's an abusive relationship for sure.
Yeah, but I do. I go back to it. The putting's awful. 2K owns Golf Club 2019, and they're supposed to do PGA 2K21, and I'm kind of hoping that they don't just take Golf Club and rebrand it, because if they do that, I'm going to still buy it, but I'm going to fucking hate it. So, and then I played Mud Runner.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah.
So I completed all the challenges in Mud Runner. I'm stepping more into like single player stuff now. Yeah. Oh, no. Oh my God. I have one. Let me go on a little rant here.
Oh, boy.
I've got one challenge left in Mud Runner, and you have to use this just like shithole of a Jeep to climb up this like rocky mountain, and there's two of them, and to get the three stars you got to take both Jeeps up, and you got to find a way, first of all, like how to get up there, so like, you know, the map's all like dark until you like discover how you get there,
right.
I'm like maybe 70 feet away from the final point, the flag where I need to go, it's so fucking jagged everywhere. I get in there and the Jeep's just like going like this and it flips every fucking time. Or it tips just enough where the engine stalls. And I just sit there and go, fuck. And shut it down. So I do have the one challenge. I totally forgot about that. Damn, it's a pisser. anyways, I have enjoyed it. I am curious about doing or purchasing SnowRunner.
Yeah.
Because I hear that it's a little bit different. Yeah, Zach or Nick. Nick was Nick played SnowRunner, and he said he really liked it a lot.
See, I tried MudRunner, and I could not get into it. I don't know what it was about it, but for some reason, it was I did not enjoy it. But I'm also not like the simulation type of person. That's not really my thing.
I will say this. Probably the first like challenge or second challenge, it's like super slow.
Yeah.
But then the other ones, like there's like you got to actually figure out like proper routes to stuff, and you got to properly figure out, you know, how to get something from point A to point B and use your winch effectively and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed it. But apparently, SnowRunner is very different of a game. So I might give it a try. I might pick up SnowRunner and try that out.
I'm much more of a go through things than around things type of person.
Well, you can go through trees. You can go through trees and shit, but your vehicle might get damaged. Yeah. That's a problem that you find yourself
in. It's not a game designed for me by any means.
Yeah, and then put a little bit of League. That's kind of like my weekly thing. At least try to get on League for an hour or so a week. And boy, I wanted to get a lot more time in Ni No Kuni. Could not do it. Was distracted by a million things. Probably got like half an hour in Ni No Kuni, which means nothing.
Yeah.
So which means I basically just probably clicked through a bunch of text bubbles. but still love the game.
Yeah.
Still love it.
I'm excited. I'm
hoping to get some into that.
I think that's gonna be the next Switch game I play, because I've got a handful of JRPGs on Switch specifically, because that's the easiest place for me to actually get through them, and that's one of them, and I think that's going to be the one I go after. I'm excited.
You won't regret it.
I'm excited.
All right, Brody, let's discuss the bigger news of this podcast. You want to hit it off with some Chin Pokemon?
Yeah, so there was a Pokemon Presents on June 17th, which was Wednesday. They showed off Pokemon Smile, which is a mobile app designed to teach children good toothbrushing habits, and it is available now. The Pokemon Company will not be happy until they take over every part of your life.
Now own your children's teeth.
They never did release Pokemon Sleep, did they? You remember that?
I don't know. They probably did. There's so much Pokemon shit. Let me check.
I don't remember seeing it. And
it was an app, right?
Yeah, it was going to be an app. Okay. And they were going to show off more of it in like February. And I think
maybe they fell asleep.
Wow.
Ba-dum-psh.
Wow. Next up, they showed off Pokemon Cafe Mix. So this is a free to start mobile Pokemon puzzle game for Android, iOS, and Nintendo Switch. You link together Pokemon icons to solve various problems, all while creating a cafe full of Pokemon customers. So this is essentially like a Candy Crush-esque style, but with a Pokemon skin.
They have not really.
That's so weird to me that it just like fell by the wayside.
Pokemon Smile.
Out now.
Available right now.
Out now.
Okay, I'm going to download that. I'm going to try it out.
So
report next week.
Tell me how clean your teeth are next week.
Pokemon made my gums bleed.
Pokemon Cafe Mix is available for preload, pre-order, or pre-register, depending on your platform, right now. So that they didn't give a specific date for when that's actually coming. They just it's available for preload now. Pokemon Go Fest. So this year will be a digital only due to obvious circumstances. They did tease that there will be certain Pokemon that appear during the event that you won't want to miss. They didn't say any more than that, just that you don't want to miss them. Plus, there's going to be Mega Evolutions that will be making their way into the game, and more info will be coming soon.
I'd like to take this moment to just do a PSA about how many fucking Pokemon apps there are now. Are you
there's
ready for
a lot.
This? We've got Pokemon Smile, Pokemon Home, Pokemon Shuffle Mobile, Pokemon Quest, Pokemon Cafe Mix, Pokemon Rumble Rush, Pokemon Magikarp Jump, in iMessage. You can get Pokemon Chat Pals, you can get Detective Pikachu Sticker Pack, Pokemon Pixel Art Pack, and Pokemon Pixel Art Pack 2.
Wow. That's a lot of Pokemon.
Who knew? There'd be so many apps. Like 5, 6 years ago, would you ever sit here and be like, man, there'd be Pokemon on my phone? Probably not. Probably no, not.
Not so much.
This smile thing, by the way, looks very cringe.
Oh, I'm yeah.
Definitely going to have to take a screenshot and post it on Twitter later.
Yeah. I would like for you to do a Let's Play with Pokemon Smile.
I'll record my screen.
There you go.
I'm like, all right, guys, we're doing a Let's Play here, Pokemon Smile. got my toothbrush here.
So they went into some more detail about Pokemon Sword and Shield DLC 1, which is the Isle of Armor, which is now available, but at the time of presentation, it was supposed to launch the next day. So there is a special Max Raid battle featuring the mythical Pokemon Zeraora. To celebrate the release of the DLC, if 1 million players manage to win this raid, trainers will receive a shiny Zeraora through Pokemon Home and Galarian Farfetch'd, and a special avatar item based on the training clothing from Sword and Shield are now available in Pokemon Go to celebrate the release. So I didn't want to go into too much detail about what this DLC is, considering it is already out now. There was no sense in really diving deep into that. But... yeah, it's available now, and it's fun. It's entertaining. I also put like 70-something hours into the original game because I got into breeding there for a little while. I really like games that are time sinks. It's a problem. And the big news that everybody was super excited about, Pokemon Snap is returning after 20 years.
Oh, my God, 20 years,
20
dude.
Years.
Scary.
Not a whole lot is known really at this moment, other than it's Pokemon Snap. They just kind of showed off the trailer and said it will be coming to the Nintendo Switch. So
looked like it was kind of newer, like kind of nicer looking. Not really, but kind of up-resed in some stuff, still like blocky, and then they kind of just threw some newer Pokemon in it. Like probably just took models from Pokemon Sword and was like, all right, here you go.
Yeah, pretty much. I never personally got into Pokemon Snap all that much.
I would assume, unless I forget that if they show this or not, that you would be able to pick your Switch up and move it around.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it's gyro controlled.
And take photos.
For sure.
Oh, well, hold on now. Let's not.
I would.
Let's not jump to conclusions.
I would assume.
We just got
it would
a toothbrush out.
But. and the other big portion of this is that there's actually going to be more Pokemon, or another Pokemon Presents next week on June 24th.
Hey, so more news for the podcast
news.
Next week.
Hey.
Is Ubisoft's next week too?
I believe so.
Is that July?
I feel like we look this up every week. It's hard.
You jump on it. You jump on it. You jump on it.
I'll
get to the next
thing.
All
those dates for sure.
You go to the Google. I'll get on the next thing. All right. We had an event. That was for EA, and typically it's E3 season right now, and typically they would
July
be on stage.
12th. It's July 12th.
Okay, July 12th. So, all right. So like a week after Xbox.
On the 25th, there is CD Projekt Red is having a 3-day event. Mm. So that's a thing as well, and that's when all like the preview stuff will come out. And,
yeah. Hmm. Typically, EA would have a stage, and they would have these weird cameos from like C and D list celebrities, come in, announcing games, and they don't play games. It's always awkward. You'd also get a lot of people forcibly saying the word fuck and shit.
Oh, it's so cringy.
Holy
shit. Why?
And
why do they do this?
Ass and fuck yeah. And kick ass.
that pretty
like
much
that
covers
dad.
It. Yeah.
You kind of like that dad that knows you're not supposed to have soda or pop when you're over at your friend's house, but he goes, fuck it. Here's a Mountain Dew. Because I'm the cool dad.
The cool dad.
It was really weird, really odd. I mean, obviously, people had to pivot. They probably paid a shit ton of money for different stuff for the EA Play Live that would have been actually live and in person in L.A., and they had to pivot a lot, but we'll run through the news and then we can kind of discuss our feelings about everything. So why don't I just run through? All right, no, let's go by item.
Yeah,
by
we'll
item.
Go item
let's,
by
let's
item.
Let's give our opinion on it. That makes more sense.
We'll make it work.
All right. We have time. Good lord. Yeah. Apex Legends. So you're gonna get a Lost Treasures Collection event. which will include a new limited time mode, Armed and Dangerous Evolved. So snipers and shotties only, and all armor is evil armor, and respawn beacons are now gone in this mode. The new item called the Mobile Respawn Beacon will be used to revive teammates, and you'll start each match with one in your inventory. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's different take on it. It's going to lead to
some pretty crazy scenarios. There's a new town takeover, Crypto's Map Room, and exclusive cosmetics, and oh my gosh, and Mirage's heirloom is a trophy of himself, which that's fitting.
Yeah.
this Checks releases out. Next Tuesday, and Apex Legends will be coming to Steam and the Nintendo Switch, which was kind of like the biggest news I took out of it, honestly.
Yeah, and that'll come this fall. I did forget to put that in the show notes.
Yeah. But. Yeah, that'll be this fall. So the fact that it's coming to Steam, Nintendo Switch, and big thing too, crossplay will also be coming to this as well, which is huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. I mean, you could be playing on your Switch, and I'm assuming they're going to do like PC-only lobbies and stuff like that as well down the line. But yeah, it's great.
It's going to be interesting to see how this runs on Switch.
Yes.
I'm not going to say it's
maybe
like...
Maybe Panic Button will do the port, because they did a great job with Rocket League.
This is true. Yeah.
And with Warframe.
I'm always surprised by what they can actually achieve in the Switch versions of some of these games. But yeah, I mean, the fact that all these EA games are coming to Steam is just awesome in itself. I mean, a lot of people love their Steam libraries, so... it's nice to be able to get those games there and not have a million different places to launch from, but also at the same time it never really bugged me too much, but it's right. Cool. It's a neat thing they didn't necessarily have to do that they are doing, and why not?
Cool. Then next up we had a Sims presentation, and basically all we got from that was Sims arrives on Steam today. Well, yesterday, I guess, if you're listening to this now on Friday.
Right.
But Sims is now on Steam.
And they did say that they will have more Sims news this summer, but now they didn't really have anything to announce. It was kind of weird that they even brought Sims into it. I guess they had more of a presentation just including a bunch of different people, but it wasn't I don't know, as far as for an announcement type of deal like this, it was kind of
odd. Yeah, it didn't really make sense. Yeah,
seemed out of place,
especially with how it ended, because they then said also it's Titanfall 2 is what's coming to Steam. A Way Out, Dead Space 3 are all coming to Steam. They just mentioned that at the end after saying the Sims is coming to Steam. If you don't own the Sims or are able to go get a copy of The Sims yet, something's probably wrong.
Yeah.
Or received The Sims for free.
Right.
in something.
Yeah. It was just weird how it was kind of like a vehicle basically to just announce that a bunch of things were coming to Steam.
Right, but like why not like announce like Titanfall 2, A Way Out, Dead Space 3, and The Sims all coming to Steam, and we'll continue to, you know, I'll move on to this more too, but basically they also said, you know, more games will be coming down through Steam and through Switch later in the year.
Right.
But it was absolutely confusing to me why they would even.
It was a little puzzling.
Why they would even do that. We got Command & Conquer Remaster showed to us, and it was released recently, but it's not today.
Yeah. Yeah, that came out last week or the week before on Steam. I mean, it's cool. I really like the old Command & Conquer games. It's fantastic, but it was also just kind of a weird tie-in at the end there as well.
Yeah, it got weird for a bit.
The pacing off.
Yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, it was hard taking notes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I took some on my phone of, like, some of my...
I just kept pausing
my thoughts in my iPad.
I kept pausing and I had the laptop sitting on my lap. Like, I'm like, okay, play. Oh, go back, go back.
So then after that, within, like, 5.2 seconds, they then announced that there'll be 7 games coming to the Switch this year. And starting with Burnout Paradise tomorrow, which is the day that you're listening to this today. So you can go get Burnout Paradise on Switch.
There you go.
Burnout Paradise Remastered.
And then they didn't say any of the other games that were coming to Switch.
No, they didn't. No, they did not. I'm assuming they're going to be older games?
I would assume so.
Possibly these games that went to Steam.
Maybe some of them.
Yes, not all of them. Maybe
I'm surprised The Sims have not made their way over to the Switch yet. Surely the Switch can handle Sims.
Surely, yes. Don't call me Shirley. God. Another part of their
Mountain Dew kids presentation. Mountain Dew.
Another part of their presentation was stating that crossplay will be a big part of EA going forward, which makes sense. And honestly, just kind of puts another knife in the Xbox.
Yep.
In my mind, because it's basically like, all right, what games are on Xbox? If everything's going to be crossplay, my buddies have Xbox. All right, cool.
Yep, no reason to switch over for friends anymore. Yep. You can play where you want.
In-game voice chat. The first to get it will be Need for Speed Heat. Will be the crossplay going forward. So there's that a game that, well, you know, Need for Speed Heat. And then we got to look at EA Originals.
It's getting there. God, yeah, their character models are hideous, though.
Oh my God! Yeah, they're aliens.
Oh, they're
they all
awful.
Look like Mark Zuckerberg. Beady eyes and just.
I actually have played a little bit of Need for Speed Heat, and good God, like the cars and stuff look great.
Oh, terrific!
Anytime they show my character, I immediately want to stop playing. I don't need cutscenes. I don't need. Luckily, I can skip all of them because I don't care.
The cutscenes are so cringe too. Oh. Hey, you think you can beat that guy? Pans over. It's like a fucking 96 Miata. And you're rocking a fucking Lambo.
Right. Yeah. These are less cringy than some of them in the past. There was the one where they did like the...
The real life
video. Yeah.
Need for Speed Most Wanted, yeah. Well, kid, you think you got what it takes?
The one I'm thinking of is, I think it was just called Need for Speed. It was like that one, like, just randomly Need for Speed title. And
they had the bootleg, like, Fast and Furious characters. Where it was totally Dom, but it wasn't for legal purposes.
So bad.
Hey, you think you got what it takes to beat me in my Dodge Challenger?
And the acting was just the finish line. Oh no, they gotta fix that. Just get rid of it altogether.
We gotta go now. I'm seeing the cops. Let's head out, crew. Fuck.
Were you in that?
Cringy.
I mean, because that's spot on.
I could do voice acting.
You got the tone
man,
and everything.
Sure.
It's perfect.
We'll do voice acting for EA Racing games only. Then we got a weird look at EA Original Studios, which was like this like big hype up of a bunch of stuff of these cool studios and the people in them. And then they kind of just focused on the one dude for a real long time and let him say fuck a lot. And then, because that's his thing, just saying fuck.
I mean, because anybody who says fuck is just automatically a bad boy, you know?
I mean, the guy's made some good stuff, like No Way Out. That was a great game.
He's made some great films.
Made some great films.
He has
an
abrasive personality that is a little grinding.
It's not yes man. He's a fuck man. we saw Hazelight Studios, which is the fuck man that we're talking about.
Fuck man.
He showed off It Takes Two, which was kind of showed off, kind of not. It was like concept art and then like a pan into a world, into one environment, actually. So we didn't really get to see anything. But basically, it's a co-op action adventure platform.
Where there's two fucking characters. You can fucking play as this fucking character. You can bring your buddy and he can play as that fucking character while you play as this fucking character.
You've got fucking emotions. You can basically play with the fucking emotions. It's fucking incredible. Me and my family spent 5 years trying to get into fucking Sweden. Thank God they let me into fucking Sweden because I made Sweden a lot of fucking money now. Here we go. That was basically what I took from it. It looks really cool. Like the guy's attitude. Super cool dude. He's been through some shit.
He has.
He's been through some fuck. But man, he can make fucking decent
some
games.
Shit. He's been through some
been
fuck.
Through some fuck. His own words.
Oh,
I'm interested, sir.
Yeah,
I am. Wait for it. fucking interested.
I would have liked to see more of what it actually was, because it was kind of confusing. If he didn't tell us that it was a co-op action adventure platformer, it would have been a little hard to gather that from what he did show off. But it is pretty cool. It does look neat, and I'll probably check it out once it gets closer to launch, obviously.
Yeah. This man also looked like a yoga teacher.
Yeah, 100%.
But seems like a cool dude. I mean, I definitely sit down and grab a beer with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Boy, it'd have to be at my house, because I think he'd just throw up bombs everywhere, dude. Couldn't be in public. And then we saw the Zoink Games Showcase. So they showed off Lost in Random, which is an action-adventure game about a girl and her friend Dicey, which is actually a die. Totally got like some Tim Burton vibes out of this. Coraline, Nightmare Before Christmas-ish kind of stuff. Right. Super cool, like stop animation style or claymation kind of feel to it. That's coming 2021. Did I even say when It Takes Two is coming out?
2021.
Fucking
2021.
Zoink Games, cool.
I actually...
Two weird dudes, man, making a fucking weird horror game.
Yeah.
That one man's ponytail, that's a fucking decade in the making, dude. I mean, that comes down from the top of his fucking head.
There's a lot of hair there.
Think of that. That had to start, right? As like almost like a troll doll. And then it had to go back. Like, that's a fucking commitment. But the game looks absolutely beautiful, absolutely stunning. So, again, coming 2021. Then we got to look at Final Strike Games. Confused. It's a rockets-only multiplayer shooter where you only shoot rockets. Seems like there's different kinds of rockets with different abilities. Perhaps heat-seeking, swirly ones, ones that do, you know, maybe AOE, ones that do damage over time, different things like that. It's a hero shooter with different abilities. 3v3 matches, which I thought was kind of interesting. It's only 3v3.
They look like pretty small maps, though.
Yeah, they were. They were pretty small. There's cosmetics for each character unlocked by 100 levels of progression, which is kind of interesting. It launches July 14th, which is pretty soon.
Yeah, about a month.
And the first season will launch on July 28th with the Battle Pass and all. It will have crossplay at launch, which is awesome, and will bring crossplay to the Xbox Series X as well as the PS5 when that launches. This was not a free-to-play game. This is paid, from my understanding, correct? Or am I wrong?
Not sure. They didn't really say, so I assume you have to buy it, but
you go on about this, because I'll get my piece on this too.
I feel like we've had a lot of arena shooter type games that have launched somewhat recently that have not done well, and it's not a shot at Final Strike, but I don't foresee this doing very well.
It is not free to play.
It is not, especially not being free to play. Free to play might have been their only saving grace.
This just in, it is not free to play. Especially.
And it's not, again, it's not a stab at the game. I just don't think it's going to do exceptionally well. Just given, there's so many shooters out there, and it's hard to stand out. And there was a few of the maps that straight up looked like they were ripped from Overwatch. They were very similar to an Overwatch map.
Ooh, yeah, they were.
And
Overwatch and a little bit of Fortnite.
Yeah,
together.
And
more Overwatch though than anything.
And I think it has like some decent concepts in there, but I mean, I just, a paid game and then having the Battle Pass, it does work for something like a Call of Duty, but a new IP, probably not so much. That seems like a stretch. I think they would have been a lot better off to make this free to play and then try to make their money through their Battle Pass system and things of that nature. I don't know, man. I just... Instantly, as this came up, Amber was watching it with me, and I was like, that's probably not going to survive, and I hate to say that. I don't like to talk about people's work like that, but it's just, it seems like there's so many of these kinds of games right now.
So it's a live service game.
Right.
What do you think it would cost at launch?
Oh, I'm even scared to guess.
I have the numbers.
Yeah, I know. Well, I kind of would have, like I said, I think it would have been better to be free to play.
Free to play.
But I'm going to say it's a $20 game. $15?
How about $30 at launch? Yeah,
sorry. This is...
Oh, but hold on. There's a premium bundle that includes the game's first battle pass. Ooh. Because you have to buy the battle pass
for it.
How much
is that?
$40.
Okay. It's a $10 battle pass.
So the battle pass
yeah.
is probably $10. Okay. Yeah.
I wanted to make sure it wasn't like a $15 battle pass or something. I think there's some cool ideas here. I do, but hero shooters get overwhelmed by Overwatch over and over.
It also just didn't look great.
Yeah. It was generic.
Like, it looked outdated. Okay, so I really think the style was like, God, what's the one that 2K did?
Battleborn.
That's right. So it's like Overwatch Battleborn, which obviously Battleborn was, you know, similar to Overwatch, but it's kind of like a better... I don't know. Wasn't, there's just like a lot less detail to shit.
Wasn't there a Rocket game that came out last year that was a similar concept, but it was more like you had the rocket launcher from Halo more so, and it was in small arenas, and I remember hearing about it, and then I remember not hearing about it ever again. It like launched and did okay for like a week and then just died.
I don't know.
I remember it, and I wanted to call it Rocket Arena, and it very well could be called Rocket Arena, but...
So, there's a bunch of shit that I'm seeing right now where it says Rocket Arena is back with a release date and even blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know if it actually came out at one point or if it was like maybe it was an Indiegogo or like a... something like that, you know what I mean? Like a crowdfunding thing? I don't know. I just don't know why EA went with this.
Right. I don't either. I guess Rocket Arena.
I just saw Joseph Fares at Haze Light. I just see a photo of Joseph sitting in front of Haze Light. No, I just think it's fuck.
Yeah, there was another one. I don't remember what it was. It had a completely different art style, and like everybody was the same type of person. It wasn't like a hero shooter or anything. And so everybody had the same weapons, and it was more of a like a skill thing. And it could have even been like Rocket Arena League or something like that. It could be shortened down to like three letters, I remember. But yeah. I don't remember what it was, but I remember it being announced, and I think it was even specifically announced during... I want to say the Xbox event either last year or the year before, and
I just don't see how they compete.
I don't either. I don't foresee this beating out something like an Overwatch. I think, and I know it's
like,
a different
even the UI
game,
dude was cringe. Even the UI was cringe. Is Hangouts having a problem for you right now too? Because it's for me.
Yeah, you keep cutting in and out on my side. That's why I just paused. So
it's got to be a Hangouts thing. Anyway, the UI is really weird. Like the HUD in the game, super like weird font, and just I don't know. It just doesn't seem like big league.
No, and it's not.
And I get that it's
be,
indie,
right? But
yeah, I get that. But I mean, like for fuck's sakes, dude. Like the other ones are. I mean, the other
and unique
studio
and...
is New Way Out and you know, It Takes Two, and then this one that's like highly artistic with the Tim Burton style. I mean,
it's different. It's just, yeah,
it's very odd to me, the choice for that, but you know, whatever. Anyways, so July 28th is when they'll have the battle pass, and July 14th is when the first season and when it launches. So I mean, that's it. That's that you're gonna get that. I guess you can go pay $30 for that if you want that. I will probably pass. All right. Then we got something that kind of was the biggest thing for me. Looking at everything, Star Wars Squadrons. So typically, I am not that big of a let me fly around and shoot people in space as a team, or obviously the multiplayer for Battlefront 2. It's not great with Galactic Conquest, right. And Space Wars. But Squadrons, you're It's a new dogfight Star Wars game from EA, Motive, and was leaked on the Xbox website last week. EA then put off the official announcement until early this week with a cinematic trailer. So there you go. Thanks for that, Xbox website. And now we got to see some more gameplay in EA Play Live. So the key features of this are it's going to have crossplay, so that's great. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. You're going to get a single-player campaign with a dual perspective, so you can create an Empire and a New Republic fighter, and they have their own story trees. And they cross over at one point as well, which is kind of cool. There's no microtransactions. Ship parts and customization for both your pilot and ship can be unlocked simply by playing the game. What a neat idea. What a neat idea. It's 5v5 multiplayer, so you have a five-man squad. Easy to pick up, but hard to master gameplay. With a high skill ceiling, which is awesome.
They did some really cool stuff where you could kill the power to the blasters to give yourself more power to your engine. Like, that's pretty cool. That's stuff you don't see.
It's going to be pretty nuts.
Ever. I don't know if I've ever seen a game that does something like that. That's cool.
Yeah, no. Entirely supports VR. Huge. Yeah.
And it will still be crossplay with VR, so you're not going to be just playing with other people in VR. Like, you could be playing with your buddy, and he's playing on PlayStation VR, and you're playing on, you know, just regular PlayStation or Xbox even at that point. I mean,
yeah. Makes me want to pick up a PSVR, honestly.
I've thought about it for a while now, but I'm waiting for the next
one. I'm going to wait for the new one, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, with a game like that, absolutely. I look around the cockpit and stuff and see all my shit going on, and do it. And it's cool too because it looks like it didn't have a HUD. It had the screens inside of the cockpit of your X-wing or whatever you're choosing, you had to use those screens inside of that to see what's going on, which is great. That's awesome, and it relies heavily on like talking to your squad through in-game chat, which is fantastic.
Very cool. It looks like it's extremely immersive.
So. The modes on that, like I said, they have Dogfight, which is like their signature mode. But then they have Fleet Battles, which is a MOBA-esque style kind of game mode, which I'm super stoked for. So basically, you have your Imperial Fleet, let's say, and you have the Massive Star Destroyer ship. Then you have two Imperial Starships that are on that. So I think almost like a League of Legends where you've got your turrets and then like your Nexus. Right. And then you've got all the people flying around, right? Which, minions, basically, but they're actually live people in there. You have to destroy shields, similar like you would in Battlefront 2. Especially in the old days, you had to take down the shields first and then go down. But you can also place turrets. And the coolest thing I saw was you actually strategize before the game with your squad around a holo table. And it allows you to decide, hey, we're going to use, like, I don't know if it's a point system, but hey, we're going to put a turret here. And we're going to put this turret here, and we're going to beef up our shields, and there's different customizations inside of it as well, like different abilities, I guess, for your ship. Everything from, a faster rate of fire from your guns to quicker cooldown. There's 50 of them at launch that are in the game, which that's awesome. And then you're also going to be able to get in there with your friends and play what will be a very fun thing in my mind from everything I saw, game mode. Both Dogfight and Fleet Battles. This launches October 2nd on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. And it's only $40.
It's $10 more than Rocket Arena.
$40. No battle pass.
Yeah. I think this is really cool. The one thing I do get concerned about for me personally, and it's just from my personal game taste, I feel like I'd love it for like two sessions of sitting down and playing it, and then I'd probably never touch it again. But that's just me and how I don't get into that dogfight style of gameplay usually. But I think overall, I think this is awesome. I think it is a fantastic game, and I'm glad they created it, and I think it's going to do extremely well, and I probably will still end up picking it up, even though I have that in the back of my head that, you're probably only going to play it a handful of times and then never touch it again, it looks like it's a neat experience, and the fact that they're not getting greedy with it and they dropped it down to $40 is fantastic. The idea that there's no microtransactions and you can earn everything in-game is incredible. There's single player, there's multiplayer. Like, There's a lot here. It seems like there's a lot going on, and they put a lot of love into this game. And like you said, you know, not having a HUD and having everything actually in the cockpit of your, you know, X-Wing or TIE Fighter or whatever, that's so cool. I think that's the best thing they could have done and make you really feel like you are actually flying this ship.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think I had two worries about it. So the first one is, they mentioned that this was the Battlefront 2 team that is working on this.
I think it's part of, there was some
part of it, yes. But it was not a great launch.
I want to see, but at least they've already kind of
nixed some of the issues.
Microtransactions and stuff. The biggest thing is I want to make sure that the flying actually feels good. And I know that's something they really talked about. And he's like, hey, it's got to feel good. But if you play Battlefront 2 and you tried flying anything, not the best.
You crash into a bunch of shit all the time. Also, EA, just in general, like Battlefield flying, not great.
No.
That's my worry also, is like you buy it and you get in there and you just feel like a dumbass. Because in Battlefield, some of the best people who fly in Battlefield, I mean, they put so many hours upon hours upon hours of learning how to fly in Battlefield just to be decent.
Right.
And, I mean, good God, man. You were talking really quick, fast-paced battles and stuff like that. Now, the one thing I will say is that with voice chat in there and the fact that there's a MOBA-esque version to this, I'm not as intrigued to play or excited to play the dogfight mode as I am to play the fleet battles.
They seem to focus more on the fleet battles too, and they did kind of say that was their premier mode. Like that's the thing that sets it apart, type of deal. So I think that's the I personally, that would be about the only way I would play it. Is probably just
That's the only way I'm.
I mean, unless
play it,
I was like
doing
really crunched on time, then maybe I'll give it a dogfight or whatever. But fleet battles looks like it's the way to go.
I just really like the strategy behind that, where you like I said, you team up and you get together as a team and you figure out what you're gonna do and we're gonna place things, and it should be good. I'm gonna pick it up for sure. Then they showed off some teasers of next gen tech and games, which means that there were like 2 seconds of shit where they're yelling Messi's name in FIFA. Guy kicked a ball into a corner. There was Lamar Jackson was FaceTiming us for 15 seconds saying he's happy to be part of whatever the fuck I was watching.
Like the EA Sports thing, and it was its own separate deal, and then they cut away from it, and then they showed off this next gen and tech and stuff, and they're like showing off stuff for Battlefield, and they're showing off stuff for...
Well, hold on a second. We'll get to that. Talk about sports.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, the EA Sports thing was like
they showed me nothing for Madden.
Separate thing. They did nothing with that.
Yeah. I saw the same shit. I saw at what do we see for an Xbox?
Yeah,
saw the same shit pretty much. Except there was a camera pan with Brady in Tampa Bay, Bucks gear, and it's like, oh, great, fantastic, thank you.
Well,
and it's just the back of him, and then FIFA was just cinematic shots.
Yeah, and then
just like the
but
Madden
I mean
ones.
PlayStation did the same thing. They showed off NBA 2K21.
Did you pick up on this though? And I know you're not gonna give a fuck because I didn't. There was an AFL jersey.
Yeah, I don't care.
In that Madden 21 sneak, and I don't care either. I don't think America cares, and the league is named after them.
Nobody cares.
However, it's in there. We asked for NCAA. What do you give us? AFL. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Nailed it.
Fucking nailed it. You had your chance. You've nailed it. The AFL is what, 2 seasons in? This season's fucking canceled because of COVID. The XFL's gone now. We knew that was going to happen. There we go. What next? We're going to fucking put Roger Goodell in there as a feature. Like just
he's just there.
Hi, I'm Roger Goodell, and welcome to Madden 2021.
I think we should put him on the next cover. Fuck it.
Oh, my God. Roger Goodell in like one of his fucking power suits. Roger Goodell in a pantsuit. Oh, God. Anyways, yeah, so there's EA Sports stuff. And then this lady came on who is chief studio officer and said, hey, we're doing a bunch of stuff. It's not ready at all yet. In fact, the first thing that might be ready isn't until like next June.
Yeah.
So
we'll
fucking,
show more
fucking
off
year
next
from now,
June. What?
A little bit behind. But hey, you know what? Here's some teasers of literally someone, an intern, just pulling some footage inside of an environment and just moving the fucking camera forward.
Yeah.
We saw what seemed to be a sneak peek of something for Battlefield, which that's cool. It looked like it was going to be a cinematic. Looked really pretty. Looked great. We saw a racing game. That's cool. That's great. Awesome. Looked really good. However, it's not in the game. It's fucking footage that was rendered out. Saw a building crumbling. Think that's part of Battlefield. Don't know yet. Fucking hope so. But the architecture looked like it was New Age. So I'm hopeful for a new style Battlefield like we've been hoping for and that's been rumored. Probably not going to get it until fucking June.
Probably not going to get it until 2022.
Ooh,
or
yikes.
At least late 2021.
But we've got Firestorm. And then that wasn't announced. It's just we just fucking have that. So no one plays it. Whatever. Then we had what seemed to be a little showcase of a little Dragon Age. It was just a fucking beating turd in the middle of a cave with embers. And then she left and she said, you guys are really fucking important. You gamers are everything to us. You're important to us. Fuck you. You don't get anything till June. Here's a bunch of other stuff. Everything else we talked to you about coming out in 2021. There's old shit coming to Switch. There's old shit coming to Steam. We've remastered something a week ago. Now bringing it to you on a different platform. And you can shoot rockets now. Give us $40. Good night. But wait, there's more. Just when you fucking thought, where are the priorities? Where are the priorities set? Are they listening to me as a gamer? Are they waiting for it? No, because we're getting Skate.
Hey,
10 fucking years later,
numerous they told
bugs,
us they were listening.
And what could be amounted to something defined as spyware for all of its bugs and misfortunes that it had, we're getting Skate.
People
we're getting Skate
love
10 years
that
after.
Game, though. For some reason.
Skate 2 was really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great.
Not great. Like, people, like, your character's neck and shit would just randomly, like, shoot up.
Draft neck!
Like, you would go, which I've never seen that happen in skateboarding. You would see, like, you know, you go into a fucking dumpster and your arm would just, like, fly all over the fucking place. You know, hey, the guys are stoked about it. They're cool. Guess what, though? They don't even know when the fuck it's coming out.
They didn't show anything for it. It was just guys talking.
The one guy was just rocking dime skateboard gear. That's cool. And the other guy said stoked and dude and had a bunch of skateboards in the back.
So you know why they put that in there?
Because it's going to be fucking mobile.
Hangouts is killing me today.
Hangouts is killing
every
me
time
too,
you
Kayla.
Go to talk,
I said because it's gonna be a mobile game.
Oh God, no! Don't do that. Don't put that into the universe. Come on, man.
It's gonna be a mobile game. It's gonna be on Apple Arcade, probably.
I just threw up in my mouth. No, they literally put that at the end. They're like, "Hey, Skate's coming back because we don't have shit else to announce." And we should have never put on this entire event because we don't have shit to announce.
Here's the problem.
They literally
right?
put and a I, like I, 3 to 5 minute Sims thing in there because they don't have shit to announce. They were padding time to get an hour. Why even have this? I'm sorry. But God.
And I respect Greg Miller too, but his job was essentially like Blue's Clues.
Yeah.
He just. Or Dora the Explorer. He was there to talk about things and then hint at golden letters being available, which after...
It's spelled EA Play
Greg,
Live.
Greg,
the name of the
yeah,
event.
Greg, I love you. I got the golden letters. I went to the fucking website. Crashed.
Oh, absolutely.
Couldn't fucking select my game. I selected Battlefield 4. I'm like, you know what? Maybe everyone's selecting that. I'll choose something shitty. I go to that thing. Now I'm completely rammed. No, all right, fuck it. I'm out.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, what was it? What was that? What was it? What was that? What the fuck did I just view? I'll be right back. Hold on.
As soon as I saw the E.
Keep it going. Keep the brevity going.
I saw the E.
I'll be right back. I'll be right back. Okay. Grab him.
I saw the E and I saw the A, and I instantly knew it was going to be EA Play Live. There was no thought process that went into that, that, hey, we're going to actually make this challenging. This event was kind of a waste of time, and I really, really, really wish that they would have done something better or just not done it at all. Jeff is plugging in his laptop so it doesn't die.
New charger. The other one didn't work. I'm good.
I'm going to start reminding you to grab that charger at the get-go from now.
No. There was one in, and there's one over here. It wouldn't go. Wouldn't work.
So the moment I saw the E and the A, I was like, it's going to be EA Play Live, isn't it? It's going to fucking be EA Play Live. Sons of bitches.
And you're like, Greg, don't do it. E-A-P-L-O-K.
Okay, so I feel like I voiced my opinion on this well enough. What was your overall thoughts on this event?
In the immortal words of the No Way founder, or No Way Out, what the fuck?
Why did they have this?
Or no, I guess more, why the fuck?
Why the fuck?
So here's the thing. I watched a couple of like post stuff from numerous outlets. Shall not be named because we're the best. Just how I feel.
As we go on a rant about how much we hated this event.
Dude, because we're not, I'm not going to sit there and say this is great.
Absolutely.
Neither of us are going to do that. So, first of all, it's EA's. It's just like Ubisoft's. It's never going to be like the Microsoft or the Sony or the Nintendo because it's not.
Always the worst event of the entire show.
It is always bad, but here's the problem. And someone brought this up, and I do get this fact to it, but I will still go into ripping them absolutely because I thought it was atrocious. But the thing is, like, people kind of compare this sometimes to like the PlayStation stuff and the Microsoft. It's never going to be that. It's never going to fucking
and
be
it
that.
Shouldn't.
This is one publisher, okay? Ubisoft. Unfortunately, the Ubisoft one. Here's my prediction for that one. You're going to get Assassin's Creed. It's not going to be true gameplay, or it's not going to look the same when it comes out. And then there's going to be some other things, and then I'm going to get like 7 minutes of Just Dance. But EA Games, I don't know what they were really going for here. Like, they could have just probably been part of like PlayStation's or Microsoft's and probably condensed a lot of this into like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Or just had something and it only have been like half an hour, and people would have been okay with that just because the fact that it's at home, it's not live, it's not in a environment like in a theater where it's being filmed and stuff like that.
Or they could have just put out a tweet and said, we have Star Wars Squadrons and linked it to a YouTube video, and it would have blown the fuck up because it's Star Wars and that's how that works.
Yeah. Like Sims, still have it. It's basically how I themed this whole event. But the big thing to me was also just like, I like Greg Miller, but like they probably didn't need to have him do it.
No, they could have shortened like.
But he probably signed a contract beforehand, you know, where like he was going to do it
right
at the live thing because these things are done way ahead of time. But it's like they could have just done like a Nintendo
Direct.
Yeah,
this could have been a 20-minute deal, flash through a bunch of shit, and call it a day. And it's just weird to me. Like I feel like it was a waste of their time and energy and money as well as I'm sorry.
Oh,
like it really just there was two things that were big about this at all. Like if you play Apex Legends religiously, you already knew all this kind of stuff was coming and you would have gotten this in a release the next day.
Well, not only that, it wasn't really that big of an Apex Legends thing. Like this isn't a new season. Like we already know the new season's starting.
Right.
It's just an event.
And then all the Steam games coming, like that's kind of been in the news for the last couple weeks. I mean, yeah, not everybody keeps up on all that, but the moment you load up Steam, there's a big banner across the top of it that says EA Games are here, and it shows off a bunch of games. And then, like, really the only two things that were worthwhile in this and even one of them was debatable. The Star Wars Squadrons was really the big thing here, and then the idea of Skate returning is cool, but wait until you have something to show. Like, this is practically still in the brainstorm thing. Like, this could 100% get canceled before it ever comes out.
It sounded like these guys got a call that afternoon. Oh, yeah. Today. So, Skate got greenlit. Y'all just want to quickly just fucking get on the Zoom chat real quick and we just record.
Yeah. Yeah, they were 100%
like, but, I mean, we don't have that much of an idea. But it was like, hey, man, it seems like through the comments, they've decided to let us do Skate again. That's great, dude. I'm stoked. Do we know when it's coming out? Nope. But stay tuned.
I haven't even created the logo for it yet.
No, they haven't.
They have nothing for it. And that, to me, is just the sign of, like, yeah, there's not much here. And, you know, you get stuff like a couple years ago when we had the Metroid Prime 4 thing shown off, and they had a logo, and they were in development but weren't ready to show anything off. And then 2 years later, they completely shit-can the entire thing and start over. So it's like, cool, yeah, you guys are going to work on a Skate game. It takes 4 to 5 years, 6 years of development time, and if that's if everything goes well. So now you're looking at it, if something goes wrong in the middle of it, it could be like 8 years before we see this fucking game.
Oh, God. Yeah. And then there's the three takeaways that I think are, like, decent is that EA wants to do crossplay. That's good.
Great.
Because if there's a company that wouldn't have fucking done that, it would have been EA.
And they're finally bringing games to Switch, which took 3 years.
God. Yeah. Yeah. And then It Takes Two. I'm intrigued about that. I am intrigued about Lost in Random. I think it looks really pretty. Really beautiful game. Cool art style. And Star Wars Squadrons. But, I mean, yeah, other than that, Star Wars Squadrons, like, they could have just shown that off of the Xbox thing. Like they showed off Fallen Jedi. But who knows? Maybe they are waiting to show stuff off at the Xbox thing. I mean, EA and Xbox typically have a decent relationship. So maybe they will show off, obviously, Madden and FIFA, but maybe they will show off something else. But I don't know why you would hold it. I don't know why you wouldn't discuss it now. I mean, maybe people are just like, well, no one's going to watch it, so whatever.
So I didn't have any real expectations going into this. Just because last year, I don't even think we covered EA Play. When we actually did, like, a full live watch of every single event that happened, we didn't do EA Play. We completely skipped it because we kind of forgot about it. And then on top of it, after it came out, we're like, oh, shoot, we should probably check that out. We went back and watched it, and there's not much that they announced. And granted, like you said, it is one developer, but I think, you know, while Ubisoft has some cringy shit that happens during theirs, at least it's a little bit more entertaining and there's more going on. But I don't know.
I just don't know how, as a company, you don't have, like, a Battlefield ready.
At this point, especially
when
they
aren't. And you know what the issues are. Just give them some modern
one. They've already cut support for Battlefield 5, so it's, I mean, you would think they would be getting pretty close to launching the next Battlefield. I mean, the only support they have for Battlefield 5 is basically the live team to keep it running. But there's no more events after this next or this update. Like, that's it.
I mean, I think people would be fine if you just reskinned Battlefield 5 with modern shit at this point. Like, I mean,
you could,
I don't,
give me an updated Battlefield 4 and I would be happy.
Yeah, like a remaster. Yeah.
At this point, I don't care. I just want a modern Battlefield that actually plays well.
I was surprised there's no Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah, I think their last Plants vs. Zombie thing kind of flopped. The Battle for Neighborville.
No Pegasus.
My kids
stuff,
didn't even
pissed.
Get into that Battle for Neighborville thing. Like, they played it a couple.
Well, they
times
have milked it. They have milked it. Quite a fair bit.
Yeah, but I mean, kids don't typically pick up on that. So, and they loved Garden Warfare 2. So I was like, oh, yeah, you know, Battle for Neighborville is a lock. 100% they're going to love it. And they don't really care for it. They like Garden Warfare better. So I don't know. It was again, one of those things, like, I didn't expect much, but at the same time, I feel like this was kind of a waste. There was no real reason for even having this, other than tradition at this point, I guess. And if this was actually mixed in with... Yeah, sorry, if this was mixed in with, like, the actual E3, it would have completely just gotten lost in the noise.
I mean, here's the thing, right? There's way too many shows.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like here's a newsflash, people. PC gaming show happened June 13th. Yeah. Did anyone take anything from
it? Other than Persona 4? No. I went through the list of everything that was announced. I'm like, should we cover this? Nah, we're good. Persona 4, golden.
Yeah, so it's... I mean, it's like, what the hell? What do I, you know, like, what's the point?
I'm sure there is a market for these, but I imagine that market is very small, and that market is probably already devoted enough that if you put this on Reddit or something, like, they're going to find it. These are the people that are devoted enough to take time out of their Saturday to actually watch the event. I don't know. I think there's way too much going on around this time, and I love this time because there is a lot of cool stuff as well, but so much of it just gets lost in the noise, and it's weird. Like, the Sony event, the Xbox event, your Ubisoft, your Bethesda, there's Devolver Digital, there's EA, and those are just like the main ones that are shown off typically at an E3. And obviously Sony's been gone for a year now or 2 years, and so it is different. But and then IGN's been doing like a days of, or a summer of games type of thing, basically of covering games.
And then
all
you've
of
got
this.
And then you've yeah and then you've got Jeff Keighley doing Summer Games Fest.
There's so much going on, so much, and it's hard to keep track of it, and that's like our jobs right now, like that's what we do, and it's still hard to keep track of it. I can't even imagine for some like a normal consumer that isn't doing a podcast on this stuff. You could never keep up on it, never.
So while I don't go to the YouTube comments for any sort of view of how people take to things, I do in this case. So for the PC game show, here's some great comments. Greg Miller, I hate PC gaming. Also Greg Miller, well, hello PC gamer show. I wish I could get that time back. I never will. Oh God, how do I get that time back? Tyrant says, I had no expectations and yet I'm still somehow disappointed. Here's an idea for alternative title for better SEO. Generic games presentation. My feelings towards this is Ash Max. My feelings towards this is just like my dad's feelings towards me. Sad face.
Yeah. Reddit comments aren't any better right now.
No, the EA ones are hilarious as well. Just everyone's just like, man, I'm so pumped for Squadrons. What else was here?
Yeah. So this is...
All I saw was Squadrons.
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, sorry. No,
okay. Ketchup92 on Reddit says, you really need to consider whether a show like this even makes sense if you literally only have one game to show. And a good-looking game at that. No need to fake hype it up with stupid cringeworthy interview beforehand. Do not set expectations you can't meet. Are the marketing teams a bunch of brain-dead morons? That's their entire job. You should see such a failure a mile ahead.
Grim Donut says, Andrew Wilson, the CEO of EA, really looks like a Chad supervillain.
I don't get the point of this.
Where was Mass Effect? Where was UFC 4?
Mass Effect is still licking its wounds after Andromeda.
I mean, where's Mass Effect? No remaster?
They should have shown more of Dragon Age. Like, Dragon Age...
People are saying Dragon Age is going to be canceled.
I would hope not, but good God. They talked about that, what, two Game Awards ago? like not last year, but the year before. They showed it off, like a little bit of it type of thing, and we have not heard anything since. It's been radio silent until today when they showed off the like pulsating purple turd that you were talking about earlier. It was a questionable presentation at best.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't get it. Like, there's so many leaks for Mass Effect. There's leaks for Dragon Age. People have rumors, and people are like, just fucking say it. If you can say skate in that method, just say, hey, we're thinking about making a Mass Effect. Just say we're thinking about it. And at least it would give you something. Oh, good God. Jeez. Man, this just kind of solidifies E3 doesn't really need to happen. All right, guys. If you want to follow us on Twitter and Instagram to find out when Squadrons puts out more info about Squadrons or Skate, I guess, in like 2 years, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Diggity Podcast. You can follow me on Xbox. My gamer tag is MapleJeff.
And mine is Luscious Brody. And you can also find me on PlayStation at Wolverine's Cousin.
Cool. Leave us a review, guys. It helps us out a ton, whether it's on Spotify, iTunes, or Google Podcasts. It helps us get noticed. And thank you to those who have left us reviews in the past. Until next week, guys, we will see you with some more awesome, great video game news. Until next time, try to understand why we spent an hour watching that. I will too. See you in 7 days.